Please join me in prayer. God, our great Creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, the lectionary, that three-year cycle that leads us through most of the Bible each Sunday of the year, takes us through the story of Abram and Sarai, people that we more frequently hear about and refer to as Abraham and Sarah, and the promises which God makes that they will be the foundation of the chosen people of God. And we hear over and over again how despite the promises and these assurances, Abraham and Sarah move into their old age without conceiving, without having a child for this promise to really be true or come to fruition. How is it possible that these people who had never had a child could become the starting point for what will be the vast nation of Israel? What we don't hear in the lectionary week after week during this season is the fullness of this story, the many twists and turns that the five chapters of Genesis trace of Abraham and Sarah. Their flight to Egypt, Abraham offering Sarah to Pharaoh's harem to find protection for himself during their time in a foreign land. They're connecting with Abraham's uncle Lot and accumulating some wealth during their shared business years until the land no longer supports the combined herds of both. Abraham's uncle then being carried off as a prisoner of war, in which four different kings are arguing over his piece of property. The messengers of God's in on Abraham and Sarah, who throw a perfectly hospitable meal and area for rest. And Sarah laughing at this promise reiterated, and Sarah pushing Hagar into Abraham's arms to hurry along this promise. There's a lot of turbulence and change and dramatic uncertainty in the fullness of this story. But even in just these pieces that we get over the few weeks, we find glimpses of that covenant, that promise that Abraham and Sarah will have a child who becomes the starting point of this vast nation. And it is a thread that we can pick up and trace through it all. And yet again, it is surrounded by uncertainty. These are years and years of uneven waiting. And any reasonable reader of this text would hesitate to grade Abraham and Sarah well in their performance. But even still, we find later in Hebrews, the author eulogizes Abraham as one who believed the Lord and God credited it to him as righteousness. Our reading from Genesis this morning drops us in the middle of the story of Abraham and Sarah. They have changed their names. They have accumulated some wealth. They have established for themselves some amount of safety and are in a position that we might expect would be ideal for the fulfillment of this promise, a position that would allow them to create and foster an environment that supports the thriving of a child. So how is it that in this hospitable welcome of these strangers, where Sarah and Abraham find themselves still waiting for this promise to be fulfilled in their ever-increasing old age, they are told once again that Sarah will have a son? They have waited, sometimes faithfully, other times impatiently, and they have grown old. And still they are told by this stranger, in a year's time I will return and Sarah will have a son. The long-awaited promised son of this covenant would be born within the year. Sarah would be a mother, Abraham would have progeny, and God's promise to redeem the world through Abraham and his lineage would have a place to begin. We might expect that Sarah and Abraham would react in more joyful and celebratory ways, experiencing and expressing delight, excitement, gratitude, and joy. And perhaps they have in the past, but they've heard it too many times. Because instead of rejoicing, Sarah laughs. How can it be that she, an old woman, would have a child? Perhaps the years and years of waiting and hoping, expecting and praying have taken their toll. And perhaps by the time that Sarah hears from the mouth of this visitor the same prophecy once again, she has lost hope, no longer trusting that this promise can at all be made real. This reaction, this laughing, this beholding of what feels like a ridiculous promise may be perceived as a lack of faith by some. Although Sarah's posture and reaction in this story is exceptionally human. She had been waiting for 25 years for the promise of a child to be fulfilled. And those years were full of turmoil and chaos, wealth and a sense of being settled. It had been 13 years of living with the assumption that Ishmael, the son of Abraham and Hagar, was that promised child. Perhaps she had long ago given up the hope of a child of her own. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, and the lectionary for this year has the season following it, the season of Pentecost, begin with the stories of Abraham and Acts, the stories of the people of God, from beginning to present, and both of these stories reveal the sacred alternative to empire of rejecting fear and enmity and welcoming all to tent and table. There's only one way for us as humans to flourish as a species. Hospitality turns enemies into friends, and that's the one thing that the new Caesars don't want. That is the one thing that frightens them. A hospitable neighborhood, a place where people are connected to one another, responsible for and to one another, kind to one another, is a genuine threat to empire. And perhaps the same thing that made Sarah laugh from inside the tent, the laughable, ridiculous, and even impossible promise, feels much like the promise of Christ's redeeming love, bigger than we can describe or define, hard to wrangle words around to make sense of this thing that feels so often too good to be true. But hospitality and honesty is the way that we are invited in to be and to be for one another, or we won't make it. The long stories of our ancestors, modern and ancient, wouldn't be known now had there not been communities showing up for one another, supporting each other in survival, in living, and in thriving. That promise of a new way of being so often feels far-fetched and unattainable, laughable even. How could there possibly be something different than the way that it is now? The promise of new life sometimes feels so idealistic that it is absurd, that it is laughable. And we respond in the same way that Sarah did, laughing at the ridiculous nature of such a way that the world could be. But the promise has never gone away. And much like these messengers were not deterred from this sacred gathering place under the oaks, God continues to be relentless in pursuing relationship with us, inviting us into the activity of bringing about that dreamed of ridiculous promise of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.